You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action, live from the South Point Hotel Casino here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. 5-1 Astros, 5 singles, one of which was an infield single. Throwing in a throwing error in there. There's a wild pitch in there. Just a disastrous inning for the Atlanta Braves. 5-1 Astros as we head to the third, and not good for my first five wager, that's for sure.
That was an unfortunate string of events for you.
Yeah, there was not one hard hit ball, but Max Fried was just getting dinged left and right, and then the Braves didn't do themselves any favors either. So that's the story there. Kelly, would you like to update all of the other sports going on right now?
I'll do some scores real quick before we get to Pete standing by. Let's run through the NBA. Hornets up on the Magic 102-98, 8 minutes remaining in that game. The Hawks with a 1-point lead over the Pelicans, 64-63, 9 minutes left in the third quarter. Wizards up on the Celtics, 71-62, 6.5 minutes remaining in the third there. The Heat with a 6-point lead over the Nets, 63-57, 7.5 minutes remaining in the third in that game. The Raptors on top of the Pacers by 9, Matt, so I guess good thing we didn't pull the trigger there. 63-54, 7.5 minutes remaining in the third. And the Lakers, man, making a statement tonight. 72-49, 1:56 left in the second quarter still. And then the Timberwolves still with the lead over the Bucks, 58-50, 5 minutes remaining in the first half.
The statement the Lakers are making is, Thunder, you're not very good.
You are terrible, which is why without LeBron, we were still 6-point favorites on the road against you.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis's knee's okay. He's got 15-3.
He came back and played last night after the knee injury.
Yeah, Melo's got 10.
Russell Westbrook has 7 points, 8 boards, and 10 assists with a minute left in the second, a minute 30 left in the second quarter. So he going triple double. That is happening.
He going to do it. Let's talk some college football. Let's bring him in from collegefootballnews.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete FIUTAK. That's Pete Futak. It's Pete Futak, everybody. How you doing, Peter?
My God, there's 7 more months of this NBA season before we really get into it. And two, is there anything more overreactionary than a game two in a World Series after that? Like, oh my God, it's over for the Astros. Oh, it's done. This is the greatest offense of all time for Atlanta. The narrative over the last 24 hours before today has been hilarious.
You know what I love about your spots more than anything, Pete, is that you murder other sports before we get to the college football.
Well, Pete, there might be months.
I'll destroy my own. Yeah.
There might be seven months of NBA. What? There's 17 more months of NHL. We're here for another. We're not going to crown an NHL champion until 2023. This is the longest season in the world.
Well, and there's no joke. Outside, the NFL is its own separate animal, obviously. That's just the NFL. But that is the thing about college football, where we're done in a month. Like, it's a three-month thing that just sort of, you know, flies by fast. And so it's a little more of a different sort of sport. But I'm not doing a my sports better than anybody else's sport, because certainly there are a whole slew of problems with mine. But let's get to the playoffs.
Yeah,
let's go. Let's go, NBA.
Can I start with one of your
sport
sports
is children.
Problems?
Please.
Okay, Penn State and Illinois, 9 overtimes. They traded field goals, and then they go to the mandatory 2-point conversion fest. And apparently, Penn State and Illinois could not figure out how to get the ball in from 3 yards out 16 times in a row collectively until they finally got to the 9th overtime, and Illinois ends up winning it, and what ends up costing Penn State dreams of grandeur later on in the season. What is your take on that? Did you like it? Could you imagine a national championship being decided this way? What was your whole feeling?
Yeah, it didn't represent their best work. I will put this way, though, it's a drip on another sport. It is a better overtime system than the NFL, because at least you get your fair ops. And that's my beef with the NFL version. It's a little bit like, if you get the coin flip right, it's not really fair. Both teams need an equal shot. At least at this, you know you got your chance. But the way it worked out, it's great if the teams are playing well. It's bad if they're inept. And this would have been classic if they were actually hitting their 2-point conversions, but they weren't. And it was just an ugly game all the way around.
All right, Pete, let's kick things off here with number 6 versus number 8, Michigan, Michigan State. We have a 4-point spread in this one, a total of 50. Somebody's O has got to go, Pete. Whose O is it?
And I'm about to rip on my sport that's based on a system of judges and belief systems rather than playing it on the field where this ranking system, okay, Michigan State's good. They've played well. They haven't beaten anybody who's going to go to a bowl game, but now we're going to see. Now it's for real. Now we get to see if Michigan State is the real deal. It's not like Michigan's played a whole bunch of killers, considering that, you know, Washington hasn't been as good as we thought. Northern Illinois and Western Michigan are good, but at Wisconsin, So, like you said, it's the O's got to go, and we get to see who's for real. I think it's Michigan. They're just playing too tight, too well. Their lines are playing too well. Their running game is too strong. And Michigan State just makes a few too many errors. This is not usually the game that a Harbaugh team will lose against a team like this. I'm going with Michigan.
All right, let's stay in the Big Ten. Wisconsin and Iowa. The total is 37. How much are you paying me to watch?
36.5 now.
36.5. How much are you paying me to watch every play of this?
Over. Go with the over, because if the man's handing you 36, one of these teams might luck their way into 37 points all by themselves. As we speak, I think Wisconsin just turned the ball over again. So you have, and Iowa likes to take the ball away. Iowa has no offense. Wisconsin's got a great defense. Wisconsin's defense is going to sit behind the Iowa line all game long. I'm going with Iowa on this only because of the takeaway factor. Iowa's not going to run a lick. That offensive line that's, you know, gets all this love and attention, it's the worst in the Big Ten at allowing tackles for loss. So the Wisconsin defense is going to feast. But we know how this works. There's no passing game with Wisconsin. Graham Mertz is going to turn it over at least twice. When Wisconsin turns it over three times, they lose every time, and they're going to turn it over three times. Iowa wins and over on a 36.5. Thank you for the extra half there, America. The more, the better.
60% of the time, they lose every time that they turn it over three times. All right, Pete, we got Ole Miss. We got Auburn. It's sitting at 3 right now in favor of Auburn at home. If we're going with the whole home field advantage thing, then they're telling us that this game is basically a coin flip. Do you think this game is basically a coin flip?
If we're breaking it down totally even, then no. Yeah, it's a coin flip, and I like Auburn a little bit more. They're playing great on defense. That offense has found a little something. Bo Nix has been a little bit more consistent. They're not running the ball well, but everyone runs on this Ole Miss defense. This is one of those games where, again, if we're not talking about extra parts of this whole story, where Ole Miss is due to lose one of these games close. It's going to be tight until the end. I think Auburn does win. I do think Auburn covers. But there's the Brian Harsin distraction, which I don't know how you possibly put that into the handicapping mix. It's not like the Nick Rolovich situation, because this isn't really going to have to come to a head until December. But it's been enough of distraction where it's a little bit of a stay away here, but I am going Auburn on this.
Let me stay in the SEC, and I know you think I'm going Georgia-Florida, but I'm not. Mississippi State-Kentucky. Kentucky's the 12th-ranked team in the country. Mississippi State was favored here. Kentucky now is the favorite. Mike Leach gets all kinds of respect in the betting market. Why?
I don't know. He's never won anything. I don't know why he gets respect. He's not funny. He's not really that great a guy. And he's never gotten a team to a conference championship game. But other than that, I'm all in on Mike Leach. Kentucky's better. You know, and the thing about this thing is Kentucky can tackle. So start with that, is that Mississippi State does not do anything down the field. They have a great system. Mike Leach is a great offensive head coach, no question about it. But that offense does not push the ball down the field at all. And so you need a secondary that can keep those short plays from going to long plays and get off the field. Kentucky's not really a time of possession team, but Mississippi State is. But I do think Kentucky's going to control the game a little bit better. I like this Kentucky team to win this and move on. But like you said, very, very close.
Pete, James Franklin leaving Penn State, heading to LSU at the end of the season here. So what do we think about
him keeping USC?
What do we think about him keeping it within 18.5 points against Ohio State?
Problem is, how much do you believe that the Ohio State defense has really kicked it in? And I know everyone's in love with Ohio State now because they put up a gajillion points, but they haven't played anybody. If you look at who they've got since the loss to Oregon, we're talking like Akron and Tulsa and Maryland and I believe Indiana. I think I got all four of the teams right. They're just destroying the weak and the sad. Penn State can play a little defense. So I like Penn State to keep this relatively close. I want this a little bit more than that. My problem is the Penn State offense is just so twisted and bad, like we talked about before with that painful 9 overtime thing against Illinois. So Ohio State wins. They are explosive. They are that good. But I'm not sold on the Ohio State defense being that great quite yet. Long-winded way of saying that future USC head coach James Franklin and his team are going to keep this with an 18.5.
All right, 45 seconds. What's your favorite play on the board?
If it's not good, see, don't be afraid of unders. I know it's boring that everyone likes the overs and everything, but don't be afraid of going with the unders, except when you have that game of Wisconsin and Iowa, which we want to go over. You tell me in what possible world that Florida State and Clemson with these two offenses go over 47 points. It's not happening. I mean, Clemson does not score more than 17 points on anybody. That defense is going to hold the Florida State offense down. I'm going under on a very, very, very too high point total on this.
A year where the top two preseason Heisman favorites, Spencer Rattler and DJ Uiagalelei, both benched by their respective
teams. Yeah, you think Uiagalelei's hard. Try the guy who's probably going to play for him this week. Tyson Ferrema. I've never gotten his name right. That's a little difficult. But Caleb Williams for Heisman, get on that train as soon as you can. And like you said, with the Spencer Rattler thing going away now.
Caleb Williams letting us all know that apparently you can rip the ball out of your running back's hands and move the ball forward this past week.
Most brilliant play you can ever see from a true freshman.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it.
Later, guys. Other sports are great, by the way. I'm just giving up.
He's just messing around.
Except for hockey.
Pete Futek, everybody. CollegeFootballNews.com. That's where you can check out all of his work. We'll come back. We'll talk baseball and football. 5-1 it remains in favor of the Astros.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game. That's betting splits, by the way. Plus, full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything that VSiN has to offer for only $22 United States per month.
$27.22 Canadian.
Sign up now at Visa.com/subscribe. I don't know why I laugh every time.
It's gone up 2 pennies, by the way.
Like, I don't know what's
the exchange
coming.
Rate.
You're encouraging it.
Guys, this is how this works. It's gone up 2 pennies since we've been, when I did it the first, it was 27.20. It's 27.22. It is getting more expensive for you Canadians. Go get it now. It's getting more expensive for you Canadians.
That's a way to sell it.
Yeah.
Well done. Genius, this guy.
Head and it goes up two more pennies. Or whatever they call pennies.
I feel like you're neglecting other international audiences.
I do believe so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we're real big in Canada because of Andy McNeil. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know him. He's big up there.
He's a big deal.
He is a really big
Toronto deal. Toronto is Ontario is our, you know, Toronto is specifically a very large market.
Yeah.
Again, the Beating the Book
podcast. They love Andy.
Yeah. Beating the Book podcast, where all podcasts are distributed, my podcast that I do twice a week during the NFL season. We can look at the data for it, and it really is like it goes right with market size. After you get through like the first three, you know, LA, New York, and Chicago, it's Toronto next.
Toronto, third biggest city in North America.
Yeah, there you go.
What was it? Mexico City, New York, and then Toronto.
Really?
Yeah, didn't I just read this off like last week? I think I'm remembering it correctly.
Maybe you did. What's your name again?
Kelly.
He's Midland Bidlin.
Kelly.
Midland Bidlin.
Hey, what's the in game on the Atlanta Braves right now? Down 4 runs to start the fourth inning. I'm curious.
Let's see, 7-1.
7-1.
7-1 here in town.
8-1 at DraftKings.
8-1 at DraftKings. All right.
Okay.
Totals 10.5. I got 10.5 shaded to the over. What do you got at DraftKings, Matt?
10.5 shaded to the over.
Okay.
-140 actually.
That's what
over.
I got too. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the other. We talked a little bit about baseball in and of itself with the length of the game. This is the other thing about baseball too: is when a team has a, let's take a 4-run lead or greater, which we've seen many times in this postseason, it is tough to get the kids, if I may say that, to sort of keep locked into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just said, "Oh, I'll go do something. I'll come back and see if."
And it's not like a football game, right? Like a football game, a comeback in a football game can be super exciting still. Yeah.
Well, a comeback could be exciting. It's just that,
but it rarely happens.
Just sort of got to wait around.
Yeah,
for it.
It just doesn't happen all that often. So you're kind of sitting there and you're waiting on it, and then you're waiting on it, and then it never comes. Then you go like, well, that was 2 hours.
I also get back to what we said, you know, last night, which is if the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox, and I'll throw in the Giants because I love the Giants, but if one of those marquee teams is not involved, with apologies to the Astros because they've obviously made a habit of getting to the World Series here in recent history, but the Braves don't really capture the attention of most of America, as good as they've been. And baseball is largely a regionally loved sport at this point in our nation's history, if you will, as opposed to football, which is a, you know, coast-to-coast, corner-to-corner religion. And that will never change. Anyway, that's my sports talk radio.
Kelly, do we think the Pelicans, when Zion comes back, are going to be much more competitive, or do we think that this team is still a little bit off? Because we don't get them here, but we do get the adjusted win totals in the rest of country markets and stuff. And it's look, they're going to lose their fair share probably until he gets back in there. But they've been scrappy, right, in a lot of these games. They've been kind of – it almost makes you feel like if you had that one other option that they would be right there with these games that they played so far. It's just they are missing that big piece, which is kind of why they are where they are right now.
Yeah, I absolutely think it's going to be a huge difference when he comes back. Assuming he comes back in shape, which is what we've been hearing all for the past couple months.
Coming back in A shape. It might be round. The shape might be round. But yeah, he's coming back in A shape. Might be a circle.
But I'll tell you, man, like they've been close. I think that the addition of Devontae Graham, he continues to play well for them. And again, the one I talked about at the beginning of the season all the time is I really wanted to see Valanciunas and Zion work together because they both have that inside-outside ability, and I think that really, really gives you – I mean, they can play, have a two-man pick-and-roll game between the two of them. We saw the Pelicans go to that kind of point forward with Zion last year, at the end of last year. So assuming they kind of go back to that, I think this opens up what this offense can do a ton, and it's going to put a ton of pressure on defenses. So I know where you're getting at, and I said that a couple weeks ago where I think that whether it's a yes-no playoff price or an over on an adjusted win total, I think will be worth looking at as soon as we hear whenever Zion comes back.
Yeah, when we get an idea, right, of kind of at least a window to where we'd want to get ahead of that, obviously. But yeah, like some sort of window of when he's going to be available.
Now, don't get me wrong. Like a Chicago Bulls, the problem with this team is going to be depth. I like what you're telling me the starting lineup looks like. I like everything that we're just talking about with Valanciunas and Zion. There's just not a ton of quality coming off the bench. And, to sustain it throughout an entire season and then really in the playoffs, I think it gets undersold every year in the playoffs. But that 6th, 7th, 8th guy matters so much in the NBA playoffs. And it doesn't get too much talk about, but it matters so much to me. And neither one of those teams really have it.
Can I ask you a question? We talked about the Knicks earlier. We're on MSG Plus tonight. And just, again, friendly reminder, when we're not on MSG Plus, you could still catch the show Monday through Friday, streaming on VSiN.com, YouTube TV, Sling, and Fubo TV. But we talked about the Knicks earlier. The Nets, they're 2-2, and the reason I bring this up is because they're losing to the Heat tonight and could fall to 2-3. Obviously, there's a lot of basketball to be played. We're late in the third quarter here. Down 7, I believe, last I checked. Could it be, if you're at a DraftKings or at a shop like that and they're dishing adjusted season win totals, and we don't know, we have no further word on Kyrie than we did earlier, right? We still don't know anything.
Right.
Could that, I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to be great in the postseason, and I'm not saying they're not going to get to the postseason, but might the regular season, adjusted season win total under look that much better? Because they don't look great.
Okay, yeah, I was kind of hoping you weren't going to go the other way, but that's the, I don't know if I'd mess around with it at all, but if anything, you are you know, they're looking, like you said, looking kind of mediocre right now. I think you just might end up being able to get a better price on them to win the championship. You know, again, once we hear Kyrie's going to come back, might be the time to pull the trigger because it might be the best price you're going to see all year. If they continue to play, if they continue to play 500 basketball like they are right now, that's what you're going to see.
Plus 220, an unplayable price for the Nets to win the NBA
right,
title.
Can't play that.
Also, as is the Lakers at 5-1. And the Bucks, to me, still remain the best bet on the board at plus 850, although I am partial to the Warriors at 10-1 as well. Those, to me, by far are the best bets. Sixers at 20-1, Matt.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, listen, yeah, Nets and Lakers unplayable for sure at that number. Bucks would be the... It would be the first team I would at least consider. I think even at that number, I don't know. 850 just seems a little short as well.
But just such an outlier in our lifetime for NBA champions to be that number.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
next year.
I mean that, and then I mean, I don't know. I love the NBA. You know that, but like, think about how each one of these past few seasons, how odd they've been by themselves. In this one, it's the story of all these teams that we expect to be good / great that do not have a star player playing with them right now, right? I mean, we talked about the Sixers and Simmons, but you're talking about Klay Thompson's going to come back at some point for the Warriors. Kawhi's going to come back at some point for the Clippers.
We think.
So you're seeing numbers for these teams, and it's like, well, I don't really know how good the Clippers are going to be, but you're telling me they're 17-1 to win it all? Like, how could you make a bet on that when, like you said, we don't even know for sure when he's going to come back, but it's going to be way late if he does.
I got to tell you, I'm out on Kawhi.
Me too.
But I was so pro Kawhi for, you know, obviously after he led the Raptors to the title, that he could do no wrong in my eyes. But at this point, especially what, you know, how it went in the postseason last year, can you trust that dude? Like, if anything goes wrong, like, I'm gone, I'm not going to explain to you how bad my injury is, and I'm just going to disappear kind of feel to it. And I just don't, I can't put money behind someone like that who's always shrouded in his own secrecy.
He's the guy that, and listen, I don't have any problem with Kawhi. It's nothing like that.
Me neither.
He's a fantastic player. When we've seen him, he's been great,
player.
He's one of the best in the league, without a doubt. Well, you guys were talking earlier about kind of that NBA attitude of you have so much power as a player.
Yeah.
He's brought it to a next level, right?
It's
we saw that last year when it's like, hey, I'm going to sit out whenever I want, and it's going to be a lot, and you're going to have to deal with that, and it's... To me, that's just like it's gotten so far that it's I agree with you. I've soured on him a little bit.
Yep. And again, the Warriors were, to say they were banged up in that finals would be the understatement of banged up. KD obviously went down, then Klay did, and it was a magical year for the Raptors that year. I don't know if he's at a point in a career where I can envision him doing that again. So I don't know if I'd put money behind it. Bucks and Warriors, to me, the nicest prices there. We'll come back. We'll talk about some late basketball as well. And a little Thursday night preview. Why not? Tomorrow, good game. Though the Packers are depleted at wideout. Packers-Cardinals. We'll talk about that next on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime, actually glad you could stick around with us tonight here on MSG Plus. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. We want to talk some Thursday night football. Good game on paper tomorrow night. Better than the dreck we've gotten on Thursday nights earlier this year. But the Packers now with a COVID situation in their wide receiving core, Alan Lazard is out. He is unvaccinated, so he is out tomorrow night per NFL rules. We still don't quite know yet, although we do now, though, because Davante Adams didn't make the trip. So it appears that Davante Adams will not be playing for the Packers. That obviously is the bigger of the two because there's like a string attached from Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams. So as a result of the Adams absence, that line has moved dramatically this week from the Cardinals being around a 3.5-point favorite to a 6.5-point favorite. And so we kind of decided already on the break before the segment, Cardinals, Titans, tease. Just made it right now.
That's my bet-making face.
He has a bet-making face.
I endorsed it. I had already tied in the Cardinals' money line into a couple parlays, but if we get to 1.5 on the Titans, I am absolutely teasing that with something. Did you do a 6.5-point teaser?
No, six.
Six. Okay, just up to 7?
Yeah. And I understand that's not completely ideal. I just didn't want to pay the extra to get to do the 6.5. But yeah, I mean, this is just this game right here. It would shock me if the Cardinals figure unless they sleepwalk through this thing somehow because they think that Green Bay just doesn't have the weapons and somehow they end up, you know, basically just taking this game lightly. But you look and this is just one of the most player reliant offenses there is in the entire league on Devontae Adams. And guys, we talked about this last night and I'm watching one of the national shows before I come into the studio today. And they bring up the whole 6-0.
Oh. Duh.
With no context.
The thing we hated most
this
week.
With no context at all.
What Matt is referring to is that as soon as Devontae Adams was a possibility of for being an absence this week because of COVID, because of testing positive, that you saw mainstream media go crazy with the, hey, don't worry about it because the Packers are 6-0 lifetime without Devontae.
Over the last two seasons.
Over the last two seasons, right.
Yes. And what they didn't add is, two wins, two of the six were against teams with winning record that ended up with winning records, and those two teams, they happened to catch them, one of which was the Saints last season without Michael Thomas, and the year before that was the Chiefs without a little guy named Patrick Mahomes. It was Matt Moore playing quarterback for them. So, again, there's context that needs to be added before you just spit out this blanket stat and say, like, oh, they're 6-0 without Devontae Adams. Well, yeah, they beat bad teams. And then the two teams with winning records that they actually did beat were without stars, one of which is the biggest star in the game. So it's just, come on, guys. Like, do better. That's all I'm saying. Do better.
Just dive deeper.
Do better. Yeah, do better is all I'm asking.
Take the extra step.
So I could sit here and, like, read off all of these Green Bay statistics, but really they're all null and void, right? I mean, like, I could sit here and tell you they're the fourth overall defense DVOA so far, but that, again, when you're talking about a guy who's a third of your offense that's going to be gone, and now you add in Alan Lazard, who was another 20% of the, like, this is, we are now talking about basically half of the passing offense production for this team is gone in two players. And so maybe they activate Marquez Valdes-Scantling for this game. Again, I don't know if I would if I'm the GM of this team, but I'm not. So they might go,
what?
They might do something completely different here. But it seems to me, against a Cardinals defense that really has stepped up this year and been playing much, much better. We should add J.J. Watt's not going to be playing in this game. They're going to go ahead and rest him. I don't blame them, again, in a game that they should win here with the Packers missing the key pieces they're missing. Arizona defense so far, they're second overall DVOA. They're fifth overall, according to Pro Football Focus, and they have been exceptionally good against the pass. Two overall DVOA against the pass, two overall Pro Football Focus against the pass. And the other thing that they've been really good at so far is like yards per play, eighth overall in the league, yards per pass, third overall in the league. Now, you can run on this team a little bit, but you start to look, and if the Packers fall behind, which we kind of figure that they will given their lack of firepower on the offensive side of the ball and what the Cardinals obviously have. That being said, we should mention that apparently it looks like DeAndre Hopkins could actually be a true game time decision in this game. Mm. But fortunately, when you have the bank of wide receivers that they have, they still have AJ Green, they still have Christian Kirk, and they still have Rondale Moore. So they still have three healthy dudes to go out there and get it done. But DeAndre Hopkins, I guess, could be a true game time decision for this game for the Cardinals. You have to, at some point, you have to abandon the run. So even if it's easier to run and the path of least resistance against this team is to run the ball as opposed to pass it, if you get behind a certain amount of points, then, you know, that's just the way that the game works. You cannot continue to run the football. You have to start throwing it, and now it's going to be again. Now we're going back to where we started this game in the first place with Aaron Rodgers throwing to a bunch of no-name wide receivers. And I understand Randall Cobb's not no-name. He's just old. So I get it. Randall Cobb's not a no-name. He's just old. He has not been the same receiver in the last four seasons. So I find it very, very hard for this to be a win for this Packers team, which is why, again, look, if you don't want to lay the 6.5, fine. But we can tease this down. We get it down, pair it up with one of the other games that you like on the card this week. You get it down to where they just have to win the game. Maybe it's a money line if you want to parlay it with another team that you like this week or something like that.
I did the Bucks and the Chargers. Yeah, right. There's multiple options of what you could do with this
game tomorrow. You can money line it if you want to happens to be under, you know, a team that's under six or something.
You said something last night which I thought was very good about this game, or very, very insightful about this game. I don't know if insightful is the right word, but it's a good thought, which is, listen, the Packers have the absence of Adams and Lazard. If there's a scenario where they fall behind tomorrow night, I don't know, let's say 14-0 in the second quarter. You use the word punt. It doesn't mean literally, but, and they're not going to admit it, but there is a scenario where the Packers just say, hey, look, this was a short week. We had these injuries at key position. Adams is, of all the teams we rank in our top 10, he is the most important non-quarterback of all of them.
Oh, for sure.
And so maybe they do at some point just shut it down tomorrow and say, you know what, we got extra rest going into the following weekend. We weren't going to probably win this game anyway. Let's just get out of here without any more injuries.
And look, the loss isn't the worst thing in the world for them. I don't think that they truly have aspirations of being the number one overall seed. I mean, maybe they would tell you that they do, but I think that they're fairly realistic as to where they are in the pecking order of those teams in the NFC. And so you're clearly behind the Cardinals, Bucks, and even the Rams, and maybe even the Cowboys. So like, I think that you're not really thinking you're going to get the number one overall seed there. And so to Gil's point is, are you really going to go out there when your real goal at that point is just win the division? And win the division comfortably, not have to sweat it. You know, maybe you can rest players week 18, all the different things like that. And so having Aaron Rodgers take meaningless snaps, having Aaron Jones out there to take meaningless snaps late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter after you're getting blown out, it just doesn't make a ton of sense, you know. And so, again, yes, they're not going to punt on the game from the get-go, and it's not like they're throwing a game. That's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is that you get to a point where you just say, the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Right. And what's better long-term for this football team? By the way, RBI for Freddie Freeman, 5-2. Chip, 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 chip. Houston up 5-2 now. Top of the fifth, two out.
Yeah, and so for me, you know, I just put it in, especially since this number flipped on the Titans to be able to get that back up to a touchdown. So, and where you live, you'll be able to get it through the seven. I was not able to do that here in Vegas.
I went 6.5 and went through the seven. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's available out there for you guys. I think that's a really solid play. Oh, it's still a pick here, huh? So they hadn't moved, but it's one pretty much everywhere else, or 1.5 rest of country. So I think that's a super solid play here. I think the Titans probably win the game outright as it is anyway, but if you're going to give me a touchdown, I'll take the touchdown in a teaser and move on.
How much do you think – we kind of talked about this earlier, and it's kind of an unfair question, but the Julio Jones being out today, do we think that's what moved that line that much? And if he's – the problem is if he practices tomorrow, like I think this is going to swing back the other way. So it might be the time – like, if that's what we think, that's the reason why this line flipped to the Colts side today, then if he does end up practicing tomorrow or Friday, it's probably going to flip back.
Do we really think Julio Jones moved a line?
I don't know.
I don't know. It can't, right?
I don't think so. I mean, it's not Atlanta Falcons Julio Jones. He's just a receiver on a team at this point.
Just don't know how that line opened, how it did, went to the Colts, yeah. And then, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I have no answer.
The question I'm kind of talking to myself here. I understand that it's like, do you hold out for the 1.5, or do you do what you guys just did and tease it up now, and then just forget about it? Whatever. Either you're going to seven, or you're paying 5-10 extra cents, whatever it was.
Ten extra cents.
Yeah. I mean, you know, do you do that now? Just forget about it. I think I'm probably going to do that tonight. But
I did. I wanted to get it through the seven, so 7.5 for the Titans on the tees. And the Cardinals essentially just have to win that football game against the Packers, which hopefully, if all goes according to his script tomorrow night, will be easy peasy.
Just to give you guys a hint, Aaron Rodgers has targeted wide receivers 136 times on the season. Between Lazard and Devontae Adams, they have 94 of the 136 wide receivers.
Oh, my goodness. So you're saying that's a lot, is what you're saying. We'll preview the late basketball next. VSiN's Prime Time Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize, not just any kind of cash. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. So here's the story of my life on this show. Yesterday I go 3-0, but all the results come in after we leave, so I don't get my winner videos. But you can give me a loser video for this first 5-bet on the Braves. You could do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess because it's over.
Well, it's kind of over.
It's coming your way momentarily.
Yeah, loser video for me. Here we go.
And I don't think he's going to stack them all.
I don't think so. Oh.
Jeez. By the way, why does he have he has rainbow colored like stairs in the background? Like, there's a lot going on in this house, actually.
How bitter do you think that guy was right at that moment?
I mean, I would be beyond bitter. I'll tell you that much.
And, do you think he retries it, or do you think he's like, I'm not doing
this anymore? You're done at that point.
Yeah.
At least for
what's going on in this house? Like, there's like a horse statue or something?
A rainbow stairwell?
we've run this 100 times. This is the first time I'm realizing this.
First of all, is that his house?
Good point.
That's got to be some kind of public whatever.
Yeah, because no one has that rainbow stairwell, right?
Rainbow staircase with a horsey
over
there, and him covered by red plastic cups.
So if we were talking about the strikeout props, both guys hit their over. Urquidy has gone 5 innings. He's given up 6 hits, 2 earned. He's not walked anybody. He has struck out 7 through his 5. He also gets the over 14.5.
Max Fried about to get his over.
I was just about to say, you wouldn't have thought
that
Max Fried was going to get you there, but he is 1 out away from hitting the over for you on that as well. And then also, Gil, 5 strikeouts for him. So he's over on his strikeout prop as well. So
Leaflet versus Leaflet, by the way, here. Fried versus Bregman. Just big moment for some of us.
Oh,
just want to point that out.
Buckled him.
The Oklahoma City Thunder have cut this game. What were they down at the worst? 22 we saw? At least 22 point deficit.
At least that, yeah.
And it's a 4-point game with 35.3 seconds left. They had cut it to 3. I think they have a chance. I think they're at the line, perhaps. I might be wrong about that. To cut it to 3 again. Yes. They will get a free throw here, and it is a 3-point game, and that's where we stand now. And OKC has the ball down 3. I had my head turned, so something must have happened here, where there was a tech involved, and so because Russell Wilson is arguing with the officials, and so Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to have more free throws.
So they were outscored 41-19 in the first quarter by the Lakers. Since then, they have outscored the Lakers 73-54.
That checks out. My math, that checks out.
And Fried gets out of the inning, so his over on total outs hits as well. So that is. I mean, you would not have thought that whenever they score 5 runs on him in the first 2 innings.
That is definitely an upset.
But he was, and you've mentioned it. Okay, the one home run, definitely hard hit.
Yeah.
There was, I think, one other ball that was at least decently hit, but most of those were just either bleeders or C&I singles or whatever it might have been.
Baseball got him.
And, he ends up finishing out pretty strong here for them. He only gives up 6 hits, but 5 runs,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ends up hitting both free throws after the tech. It is a 1-point game. The Lakers with the ball, 20 seconds left, up 95-94. They'll attempt a 3. That is no good. Rebound Thunder. 10 seconds left with a chance to win this game.
Third quarter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was the end of the game. So it was so exciting
to win the third quarter, though.
They've caught them after 3 quarters.
Yes.
And they do. They lead.
They just
banked in a 3. They lead after 3 quarters.
Yeah, that 72-54 run I gave was over just 2-quarter span.
Oh, that makes it less exciting. somehow I conflated our departure with them.
Matt and I both caught it. As soon as your tone rose to that next level, it was like, not the end of the game.
This one is in the fourth quarter. Washington up on Boston by 7, 105-98. Everything else is in the fourth. Heat up on the Nets by 11 with 2 minutes left. So it looks like the Heat are going to get there. The Nets are going to drop to 2-3.
This Hawks-Pelicans
game. Hawks-Pelicans game is the one down to the wire.
Yeah, I haven't been watching, but this is every time I look at the score, it's another team leading by 2 or 3.
Didn't Matt Brown do that the same thing that I just did last year also? At the end of a third quarter of a game, got super excited about something?
I feel like we've probably done it three or four times on the show, probably.
You talked about Valanciunas and how he was going to pan out there for the Pelicans, Kelly. I mean, 16-15 for him.
Pretty good. Not bad.
And if that's the type of presence that he can give them when Zion comes back, I think it's certainly a team to keep an eye on for this adjusted win total. So I think they could if it shrinks and keeps shrinking with these tough losses that they kind of get, and you get that extra little spark, I think there could be some value there on that.
Meanwhile,
yes,
in Milwaukee,
yeah,
my live bet
not going well.
Timberwolves 92. Bucks 76 nearing the end of the third quarter here.
Jeez.
Giannis with 29-11, but stop me if you've heard this before. He's chucking up too many threes.
Stop.
He's 2-for-5.
Stop.
And is anybody going to help him out? Like, these games where Chris Middleton just disappears. He's like, I'm just going to be a regular dude. Stop. He's got 8 points. 8 points in this game.
Stop. You told me to say stop if we've heard this before.
It's incredible.
Yeah. No, it's that when there were so many games, they won the championship last year, but there were so many games like that last year.
It's so many games. Giannis is, he's incredible. He's incredible. He basically single-handedly won a championship last year.
MVP ticket on Giannis is still very viable this year, though.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have that ticket than the Bucks to win the championship, for sure.
Definitely.
On the net side of things, if you're wondering how it gets to where you're down 104-89, James Harden, 4 of 12 from the floor. Joe Harris, 5 of 15 from the floor. Blake Griffin, 2 of 6 from the floor. And the everybody's lock of sixth man of the year in Patty Mills, 1 of 9 from the floor tonight.
That is how you
end up down 104-89.
So this is what we talked about with the Heat preseason. Like, it's going to be... I don't think they're going anywhere once the playoffs start, but man, after the grueling regular season that an NBA regular season is, you're traveling all over the place, games back-to-back nights, this Heat team is just going to beat you up every single night.
The only guy having a good game is Durant, and he has a good game as everyone.
Exactly.
He's one of the best players on the planet. And outside of that, everyone else is struggling because of the defense that the Heat are going to play against them. And yeah, they're going to give people hell for sure. And it's, like I said, it's probably not going to equal a championship, but they're going to be a team where people go,
like, I got to play these guys.
Yeah, I don't want to play these guys. Really don't want to play these guys.
Especially, imagine that after like a night out on South Beach, and then really, it really becomes problematic.
South Beach, you're suggesting, has an allure? Is that
what
you're suggesting?
Yes, I think it does. I feel like playing the Heat would already feel like a hangover, so you don't want to play them hungover already. That's...
So many blowouts in the NBA early. Here we have one in Toronto crushing the Pacers. They're up 21 with a minute left.
Thunder up 3.
Saturday, P.J. Tucker, 36 minutes, no points. Monday, 21 minutes, no points. Tonight, 15 points.
Doing a bit of everything. Seven rebounds.
Little P.J. Tucker action tonight for the Heat as well.
Are we really waiting for a Lakers in game again? Are the Lakers plus 3.5 in game? How can that be?
I mean, because they just turned it over again.
They are. I mean, they're down. Yeah, they're down 3. They're collapsing in front of our eyes.
I think I'm doing another Lakers in game if I can get there in time here.
Man, this late. Oh, I don't think I could do it.
There's 10:48 left in the game, though.
I know. I mean, if you're gonna do it, like, you gotta do it now. Like, I don't want to wait too long into the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Usually try to stay away in the fourth quarter, but
I'm in on the Lakers plus 3.5.
All right.
Give me 3.5 points. I'll take it.
There you go.
What about the Celtics against the Wiz? Do we have any interest in the Celtics here late down 3?
Isn't that
90 seconds left? Montrezl. Almost turns it over.
What just happened right there?
The Wizards somehow made 2 points
out of
that.
How did that equal 2 points?
Because they have Bradley Beal. That's why. 110-105. Wizards doing their thing there. OKC up 4, and the Lakers immediately go to -1. How were they dishing a plus 3.5 on the Lakers there? That seemed like I'm glad I got in on that. Of course, I'll win that after the show, and I won't get my winner video, but that's how this works.
Hey, it's locked into the sheet.
Yeah. No, you got to time these well, and that we'll see if that ends up being a fortuitous wager right there. Well, it's talking. Lakers back down to 3 now, back to 1. Runner at second for the Braves. This baseball game is not over by any stretch.
It is not over.
And if Jock can catch one right here, then we got ourselves a ball game real quick. Top of the 6th, 1 out, man at second, 5-2, Astros. All right, we got to leave you. Looks like Washington up 5 now with 45 seconds left. Lakers and Thunder in a tussle. We got to run.
I'm on the Kings plus 8, but I don't know if you want to tail me tonight.
Might not want to tail Kelly. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. For Matt Brown, for Kelly Bidlin, Gil Alexander, thanks so much. The Nightcap is next from Circa here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as you look atop the Vegas Strip. Enjoy.